you judge people and they judge you. We can't stop that. That's the way human beings get along. If you stop, if you really had to think cognitively and clearly about everybody that you met, you'd never move on to what you really need to get done. So we make clear, strong judgments about people. What I like to look at is how can you alter, nuance, augment the judgments that other people will make about you by understanding their judgment system and understanding how you can intervene in that with nonverbal communication, which I would say is the best lever from an economics point of view to put into that judgment system. If I need you to judge me differently or judge me in a certain way, I'm going to present to you very clear nonverbal behaviors from the moment you meet me in that very first instant. And that's going to bias you and create the framework by which you continue to judge me. So, you know, that's what, you know, you've already decided whether you like me or not is about. It's about reminding people that they have this judgment system going on all the time.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. You're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset. Learn and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here with Mark Bowden. Mark, what's happening, brother? How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me here. Really appreciate it.
I want to take a minute to edify you. If anyone doesn't know Mark, the behavior panel, your writing, your TEDx speak, they're under a rock somewhere. That's okay. We're going to roll out under that rock. You're a world-renowned body language expert, keynote speaker, best-selling author of several books translated in languages all over the world, founder of communication training company TruthPlane. Mark was voted Global Guru's number one body language professional in the world. As a keynote, live and virtually, you've worked with, wow, Zoom, Shopify, Toyota, KPMG, American Express, U.S. Army, NATO, and prime ministers of G7 nations. Highly acclaimed TEDx speaker, one quarter of the behavior panel, over just under 50 million views at this time, over 500,000 subscribers, nonpartisan tackling body language of public figures like Prince Harry and Meghan, Biden, Trump, Anna Delvey, psychopaths, murderers, and even cheap shot slaps like Will Smith hitting Chris Rock. Mark, what the heck are you doing here? You're out of my league, brother. I'm
not at all.
I'm humbled.
Not at all out of your league. In no way. Listen, I'm just happy to have a chat to people, especially you, about whatever you'd like to chat about. You know, it's nice that people want my thoughts or opinion or want to know about what I'm up to. So happy to be here.
Dude, honored to be here. To get started, so this is a podcast. I do recommend people watch the video version of this. It's going to be animated. It's going to be fun. But a lot of people just listen to the audio. And beyond that, Mark, you're just talking to me. I'm just one guy. And I have a whole audience of people that you don't know. How does it feel talking over a podcast and not really knowing who's going to listen in. They could be 5, they could be 15, they could be 50, they could be anywhere in the world. How does it feel being on that other end, being a world-renowned body language expert and not having that kind of data?
Well, I mean, it's great that you're there and you're animated and I can see you and I can see you nodding along to me and smiling along with me. But yeah, other than that, I'm kind of looking into the darkness of everybody else out there. But here's what I keep on my mind is just to care for everybody who's out there. I mean, look, that you're listening right now out there, whoever you are right now, you've taken some time and I understand that. So I'm always keeping that audience in mind, though I can't see the many, many thousands of people out there. I care about them truly. You know, that's not a made up thing. I'm actually thinking of you and hoping that you're going to get something out of this.
And they absolutely will, Mark. I know that for sure. And just to define it a little bit better, so it's a business-oriented podcast, but I believe if you're not doing self-work, self-development, personal development, you're going to have all the tips and tactics and tricks, and you're going to be out of alignment. You're never going to do well in business. So think business, personal development, think revenue-driven, and think, you know, entrepreneurs, go-getters. So anyone who's looking to level up their business and family life, but ultimately be a better person, let's talk a little bit about your background and how you can serve those people. I know you are very much into marine biology, and walk me through a little bit kind of like your history leading into being a body language and human behavior expert.
Yeah. So as a kid, I was really into the sea. I come from England, so we're surrounded by coast.
Yes.
So a lot of holidays that you take as a family, we'd take as a family, would be going to the sea. And I used to love getting into rock pools and just the movement of fish and sea anemones and starfish and crabs and, you know, snails and all the stuff in there. And of course, natural history on TV was a massive, massive thing, still is in the UK, but a massive thing for me in the 1970s, 1980s when I was growing up. So obsessed with that biology. I enjoyed biology as a kid as well, and studying biology, I was quite good at that because you could draw diagrams. And I'm dyslexic, so I wasn't good at reading and writing in the way that most other people think that you should be good at it, or examiners think that you should be good at it. I was good at it in my way, but I was really good at drawing diagrams, so I could get high marks in biology just by doing the diagrams.
Yes.
And there were heroes out there for me like Jacques Cousteau. There was a great romanticism to being on the sea and diving and getting under the water, and that. So I just got really obsessed with movement and human movement and animal movement and how you can diagram that, how you can kind of codify that in some way and start to understand why things do what they do, or eventually why human beings do what they do. So that's been my trajectory towards human behavior and body language, nonverbal communication, verbal communication. Why do we do all these things? How do we do them? And how can we manage people better and ourselves by understanding human communication?
And let's talk about how we do that. But we'll start. I wrote this down. The start of your TED Talk, the work I do is to remind people that they are alive. That's actually a different quote I wrote down. The start of your TED Talk was, so you've already decided if you like me or not.
Yeah. So look, we judge people. That's what it means. We judge people. I judge you. You judge me. Everybody listening or watching right now, you judge people and they judge you. We can't stop that. That's the way human beings get along. If you really had to think cognitively and clearly about everybody that you met, you'd never move on to what you really need to get done. So we make clear, strong judgments about people. What I like to look at is how can you alter, nuance, augment the judgments that other people will make about you by understanding their judgment system and understanding how you can intervene in that with nonverbal communication, which I would say is the best lever from an economics point of view to put into that judgment system. If I need you to judge me differently or judge me in a certain way, I'm going to present to you very clear nonverbal behaviors from the moment you meet me in that very first instant. And that's going to bias you and create the framework by which you continue to judge me. So, you know, that's what, you know, you've already decided whether you like me or not is about. It's about reminding people that they have this judgment system going on all the time.
It's going on all the time, whether we like it or not. It's within us. We have this judgment system. Guys, again, if you're listening to the audio, Mark, you can be descriptive, but I do recommend people go to the show notes and watch the video as well. What are some of these beginner tips you might have for someone who... It's weird. They're going into sales calls, they're going into presentations, and they feel like the words coming out of their mouth are great, and they feel like they know what they're talking about, but it's not being received the way that they imagine it would be received. Why do you think that might be happening, or what are some tips to be received better because we are being judged?
Yeah, so most likely, if you've got what you believe to be and has been proven to be a good message, a great message for that audience or a person like that, if they're not receiving it very well, it is most likely that you have triggered in them, or something in the environment has triggered in them a sense of threat, and they're doing the retreat response, which means they're now going to bias their understanding or their idea of everything that you're saying. So you may be saying the words right, but if they have a bias, they're not decoding them correctly. They're going to come back to you and say, oh, well, you said X, and you're going to think to yourself, hang on, I didn't even say that. I never use that. And they will be convinced that you said it, because that's what their brain decides you said based on their judgment about you. So look, first thing you want to be doing is understanding that every human being has the approach and retreat response in them. And there are certain environments that they will approach and certain environments they're more likely to retreat from. Listen, a supermarket does that with you all the time. It will spray water on the vegetables. Yes, it does keep them fresher, but the reason they want to keep them fresher is they will glisten in the specific lighting that they're going to put those vegetables underneath, okay, so that you do the approach response, because your brain goes, oh, ripe fruit or fresh vegetable, okay? That vegetable or that fruit is very, very old. It's taken a long, long journey, maybe from as far away as South Africa to your North American or European table, potentially, or your UK table, okay? Or your European table. It's come a long way. It's maybe come from Africa or Israel or the Middle East or somewhere like that that can grow fruit continually. And so, look, we might say, well, that fruit isn't being very authentic. Is it? I mean, it's kind of lying to us in some way. Well, no, I mean, ultimately, if you bite into the fruit and it's terrible, yeah, you will be disappointed. But ultimately, if you projected that fruit as it really is on the outside, yeah, you would judge it incorrectly as to what's happening on the inside, which is on the inside, though it's taken all that journey, it's still a great fruit on the inside, but on the outside, it's a little bit tired, okay? Well, you know, we can do the same things. We can choose our behaviors and our body language and our environment in order to give us the best opportunity to stimulate people with a correct judgment of what's happening on the inside for us. Now, people might go, yeah, but you know, if it's happening on the inside, surely it would project onto the outside, you know, if we're being authentic. No, you're so wrong. You can not believe how wrong you are, because when you want to project how good you are inside, sometimes you do that in environments that you are not comfortable in. They're high stress for you. You're walking into a situation as a business person, as an entrepreneur, and you know you need to convince that person because it would be so big for your business. You're now under stress and you feel it internally. You feel your desire to give your true self, but the environment is going to trigger you into behaviors that are for your safety, and those will be misunderstood often as being negative and often sometimes predatorial even. They'll be mistaken for predator information. So it is your job, it is your duty often to put on the behaviors that will sell you best, just like a great piece of fruit. I hope that makes sense, Ben.
It does. It does. Let's apply this. And I know I didn't give you opportunity to prepare, so I'm sorry. But from all the public figures, you know, you guys have analyzed, is there any examples that you can, you know, come up with where there's just a clear misalignment where the words coming out, they think that they're not being deceptive, but you were able to tell right away that something was off. Do you have an example for us?
Yeah, I mean, if you go and look at the behavior panel, there are many, many examples of people. It's too many to mention of people who have got themselves into, done something they shouldn't have done, got themselves into a situation where they don't want to admit that. Yeah, but ultimately, what is inside of them, the knowledge of that, will leak out, even though they are trying to hold it back. Now, we as professional analysts of this are able to pinpoint exactly what's happening. But a general audience will just kind of go, I just feel uncomfortable around this person. I don't know what it is, but I don't buy it, and I'm not sure what's going on. And so I think for our audience here, for you listening or watching right now, what you want to pay attention to is you may have the right feeling inside, but it gets muddied with a whole bunch of other stuff going on. And you can feel it really big inside, but it gets so muddied that all the viewer gets is confused. And they don't know why they're confused, but all that happens is they go, summing up here, I don't like it. I don't like this person. I don't like their content. I don't like what's going on here. They're not able to put an analytic voice to it, essentially. So, you know, there are sayings out there that say, look, the body never lies. Well, it possibly does that a lot less to somebody who is a really good analyst. But a better thing for the general public would be the body is often very confusing. and so when things get messy, you get confused, and our brain doesn't like confusion, and it defaults to negatives. Now, look, as an example, you kind of brought up the Will Smith thing as well. Maybe not an example of somebody being deceitful, but an example of them getting triggered by a situation and not being able to manage themselves anymore, and their feelings leaking out in such an obtuse way that they commit a violent act, which is not acceptable in that particular circumstance. Okay. Here's what I always say. There is no bad body language or behavior, just results that you wanted or didn't want. That's all. There is no bad behavior. There is no bad, because bad behavior in one circumstance is good behavior in another circumstance, or is viewed by. So there were some people after Will Smith who said, I thought it was fantastic what he did. Okay. Well, that's a viewpoint. That's a viewpoint. For them, it wasn't bad behavior. For others, it was bad behavior. Okay. Well, maybe one person's circumstance is different from another person's circumstance. Anyway, again, I hope that makes sense to you, Ben.
It does. And tell me if this makes sense. So if I'm doing behaviors and I'm being perceived differently than I'd like, that might not be good. And there are scenarios where, let's say, you storm the Capitol building and I want to be on the pedestal as the person that stormed the Capitol. That's the reception I want. I want to be the Capitol guy. That could serve me as well. So it's less good or bad. It's more, is it aligned with the kind of message you're trying to portray? Is that correct?
Totally. Totally. So the question is who is your audience? Okay. What are you trying to communicate, and exactly to who? And the knowledge that you cannot get everybody all the time. Your audience is not everybody. If you've made your audience everybody, you will fail. Yeah. You've got to be pinpoint clear about who your audience is. And even within that, who matters more than others within that. Now, again, aligned with this idea of, okay, you've always got to be authentic and authentic is great. There's also this idea of everybody matters. Well, yeah, they do, but let's be realistic. Let's be realistic. If you're trying to communicate clearly, some people matter more than others. Yeah. Like you right now, if you're listening to this right now, you matter so much more than anybody who isn't. Okay. If you're watching me right now, believe me, you matter to me so much more than anybody who didn't press play. Okay. You've put in more resource. Okay. If Ben says to me, hey, Mark, but what about all those people who didn't press play? Surely we should try and get the message out to them. It's like, no. No, they didn't put the work in. They didn't press play. I'm not, no. They press play, yes. Like the phone goes both ways. They need to pick it up. Yeah, we can't try and get to people who cannot. Now, look, there is a caveat that says, hey, you know, there are people who don't have the opportunity to pick up the phone. Oh, yeah, I totally get that. Okay. But if you have the opportunity and you have not picked it up, there is nothing I can do for you. And I don't care about you right now. Okay. If you have picked up the other end of this right now, well done. I'm here for you. You matter. Okay.
Love it. And to continue the conversation first, let's stop. And how do people watch the behavior plan? It'll just go on YouTube, right?
Yeah. Put in behavior panel into YouTube. You will find us, or just Google behavior panel, or Google my name, Mark Bowden. You'll find us for sure.
And your latest book is Truth and Lies.
Latest book, Truth and Lies, What People Are Really Thinking, which is written by myself and Tracy Thompson. And it's a book on critical thinking disguised as a book on body language. Yeah. So this is about helping you to think better about people, think more clearly, think more concisely, think more, not rationally, but more critically about people, rather than thinking with your instinct, which is what you're going to do anyway. You can't stop thinking with your instinct, but you do stop thinking critically. And if you can do both and use both at the same time, that's really powerful. So this is to help you with the bit that you have to decide to do, which is thinking critically about people.
Do you find that a lot of people just don't?
Because they don't have to. Why would you? Like, they're still alive and they're thinking emotionally about people and using their instinct and saying, I'm using my gut about it. Oh, and you're okay. You haven't died yet. So why would they? Because they haven't got into situations where they've realized, I thought I used my instinct on this and I got it wrong and it cost me. And if I'd have used, you can't stop using your instinct, and it's not that your instinct is wrong. It's wrong some of the time. Yeah. And it's wrong. And it has your instinct defaults to negatives for your survival. Okay. It doesn't default to positives for somebody else's survival. Okay. It has a specific bias. And so knowing that my instinct has a specific bias, now I might start to include on purpose some other types of thinking in order to think better about people. Not that my cognitive thinking or my critical thinking is going to be more useful than my instinct. It's going to be different. And if you get all these different types of thinking together, you could be more accurate more of the time, which means that you could potentially be more successful, because more good information is better than less information, or even less really bad information. Okay.
I'm curious. You said potentially be more successful. It's not guaranteed.
No, nothing's guaranteed. We live in a world of possibility.
I love your authenticity. Part of why I brought it up is I love the authenticity.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, nothing's guaranteed. I'm just getting closer to guarantee than most other people are. That's how I'm doing it. I'm knowing nothing is ever going to be 100%. How do I get closer? How do I get better? So your instincts, if you're out there listening and watching right now, which you are, your instinct on the whole has about a 50-50 chance, but it's biased towards the negative. It remembers when you get when your instinct gets it right, and it forgets when it generally gets it wrong, apart from when it gets it really badly wrong. Yeah, and then it goes, oh, I don't understand the world anymore. I don't understand people. I thought I'd read this right and I was completely wrong. And you get really upset with yourself, yeah, for a few days. And then you revert back to, I got a really good instinct. I'm really smart. Why? Because you're alive. Yeah, those people with not such a good instinct have been wiped out of the gene pool already. Okay, they're gone. Yeah, it's been fatally bad for them because their instinct defaulted to more positives. Yeah, if your instinct defaults to more positives, there is a high chance you'll get wiped out of the gene pool. Now, this does happen in human beings at a certain point. As a good generalization, with males from the age of about 14 to 25, roughly, okay, the levels of testosterone will go up. It can happen in females as well, but if we swab test the whole of the population, yeah, males of a certain age and females of a certain age, if I bet the males will have higher testosterone, I will win that bet, okay? Just so you know, I'm going to win the bet on aggregate, though you can have outliers in the female population, absolutely. So in the male population, oh, by the way, the reason we know this to be true is if you are male and you have just taken your driving test, okay, you will pay more for your insurance than a female of the same age, okay, and the same driving ability. Why? Because the people who set the insurance know that the male will most likely, not 100%, largest possibility of having higher testosterone levels. What does that testosterone do? Whole bunch of stuff around muscle growth, hair growth, bone growth, okay? But it also helps the brain understand that the that negatives in the world may be lower, okay? It gives you more tolerance to risk. You are more risk tolerant. If you have more testosterone in your system, you will take more risks, okay? Look at males of that age group and females, you will find that more males die from accidents. Why? They're taking more risks, yeah? That's why they'll pay more for insurance, okay? So there, the bias will change, and the bias is to do with testosterone. But for the rest of us, we will tend to bias more towards, uh-oh, could be a problem. I don't think I can make it. I think that car is coming too fast in my peripheral vision. I think I'm going to step back from the pavement, okay? Somebody with more testosterone, I think I can make it, okay? Some do, some don't. Some of them in our past have looked at faraway islands and gone, you know what? I think I could swim it. I think I could get there. Some made it. And some didn't, okay? And that's the way it goes.
So understanding this knowledge quite literally can mean life or death.
Yeah, yeah, look, understanding that you have a negative bias, or if you're a male of a certain age, you will be more positively biased or risk averse, can help you understand what would you want to do in your other thinking in order to get closer to accuracy more of the time. Okay, because there's, you know, you can go, hey, you know what? I think I can make it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you can get some cognitive thinking in and go, well, you know, what are the possibilities based on some more critical thinking about this? And then you can decide to go with your gut. You can still keep your bias. It's okay. It's just you can hold two things at the same time rather than thinking that your instinct is more true or more accurate than your critical thinking. They both have a potential for extreme accuracy, okay, and extreme inaccuracy.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Both of them. But they both come to thinking about things from a different viewpoint, a different angle.
And that's one reason, guys, I recommend everyone watch the behavior panel, read Mark's books. The panel, for example, four talking heads. No one's there, up, liar, not a liar. The way you guys dissect and get closer and closer to the truth without saying this is it, this is that, is fascinating. And it's funny, like my girlfriend will walk in, I'll have a big screen TV with four talking heads, and she'll be like, well, what are you watching? This is like a 2.5 hour long video. It's a 2 hour long video. I'm like, this is probably the most fascinating four talking heads you'll get if you're looking to critically think and dissect some of these things and put it into practice. Now, I'm wondering, one of the objections going through my head, and I've found it's been a case a lot of the time, is you're kind of opening Pandora's box. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question here is, do you ever lose sleep at night? You have so much knowledge and experience, and you can tap into these cues at a higher level than pretty much anyone. Does that ever leave you up at night, just information overload, ignorance is bliss, wish I didn't know that? What are your thoughts on just taking in all this knowledge, and how do you compartmentalize it without judging everyone you see? You kind of get what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I totally get what you're getting at. Well, the key is to know who really matters to you. That's all. I mean, look, best will in the world.
I love that.
There are about 7 billion people on the planet right now. The majority don't matter to me at all. Okay. So I might watch, you know, a video of some people, and I might dissect it with my friends on the behavior panel because they matter to me. You know, those guys, I spend a lot of time with them. I like being around them. They really matter to me. You know, the people who show up like yourself time and time again to go, hey, we want to watch this thing. It's like, you really matter. The people in the video probably don't matter very much to me. So I'm not going to lose sleep about them. I mean, sure, in some cases, they murdered multiple people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But ultimately, with the best will in the world, this may seem harsh, but the victims don't really matter to me very much because it's done. It's over. It's like they're done. They're unfortunate. I feel for the unfortunateness of them, but it's over and done. What matters to me, Ben, is that you come back time and time again and you watch this stuff, and you might be safer in this world because you keep pressing play and showing up for me, having a great chat with my friends. And we do this because you show up. Yeah. So, but the other 7.7 billion people on the planet, it's like, there's nothing I can do. You know, I only have so much power, which isn't a great deal in many ways, you know?
Yeah. What an empowering message. It's I need to sit back. I'm going to take notes. I always re-listen, guys. If you're not taking notes right now, rewind, re-listen, take notes. Who am I bringing into my life that doesn't really matter? And who am I trying to impress that honestly isn't aligned with my vision, my purpose, any of that stuff? That's something that I'm going to do some soul searching, Mark. I appreciate you bringing it up. In a second, I want to go rapid fire around, but I just have one random hot take, because as you can see, and anyone who watches the show knows, I'm always using a green screen, and I'm not going to take the whole cloth down. It's just a cloth hanging from the ceiling, but I've got a sloppy bedroom. It's the guest bedroom, and the way this office is set up is there's not really any way to position it anywhere but seeing the whole room. So I'd have to completely throw everything out, remodel the whole room to make it look good for Zoom meetings. And a lot of people run into this issue. Do I use a green screen? Do I not? The other day at a meeting, someone was sitting on bed with a green screen. It was weird. She kept on bending backwards and then disappearing into the abyss. What is your opinion as someone who's great at reading, you know, cues of an environment? Someone like me, I'm almost taking that away from you. I'm taking that. I've got this. I believe you mentioning in one interview that you love the fine arts. So, let's use a green screen with some nice artwork on the walls and this and that. I'm almost taking that. I guess my question is, what are your thoughts on green screens? I'm almost taking away the ability to see into the environment. Do you think that's deceptive?
Yeah, should I use it? You're taking away a viewer's ability to put you in a values context, a true values context, because I understand why you have the green screen. Okay. So let's just say, if you need to use a green screen, use a green screen. Totally get that. But now, what are you going to use as your context? Okay. And so what I see there is it just looks like kind of a generic, it could be anybody's home.
Yeah.
And it looks kind of like a designer has gone in there and put things in there that will never offend anybody. Like, it's like an environment like this lamp will be, you know, look valuable enough, but pretty unoffensive. Flowers, very unoffensive. The art, it's like I'm not even sure I will call it art. I mean, it's like, I don't know, you know. So look, let's think about this, Ben. Ben, with the people that you love most and care about most, where do you most like to be with them? What's some of your, you know, best environments that you like to be with them?
Well, so this is going to come out after it exists, so I'll put something in the show notes about it, but I'm going to the New Orleans Jazz Festival, and I love good food, I love good chats, I love good music, I love being outdoors. So anything where the hedonism of me comes out and I like to go and just jam to some tunes, maybe have a cocktail at that time, but I like to go, I don't smile enough, Mark, and I sometimes I'm at home and I'm work. So when I have an opportunity to go to an international jazz festival, that really lights me up and brings out a whole different side of me.
Right. So the moment I hear that, you know, how easy you gave me that information, how confident you were about it, how authentic and true it is. Like, anybody who's hearing that or seeing that can see that. So the question is like, why isn't that your background? Why aren't you there right now? Because you could be, you know, a New Orleans street with all that lovely kind of French, Cajun, you know, architecture, you know, a band playing on the street in the background there. Like, you know, that for me I would instantly go, hey, Ben, so like, tell me about that. Or you could go, hey, so I decided we'd hang out in New Orleans for this meeting today. It's one of my favorite places. I'm going there soon. I just love this about it. Suddenly we'd see you in context of something incredibly positive in your life. So look, anybody out there will be able to go, okay, well, I can think of all the reasons why not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I challenge you. But why are you worried about those reasons? Are those truly good enough reasons not to be in? Like, because I'm here amongst things that I really, really like.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I love being part of the behavior panel. These are some of the books that have really changed my life and some that I've written. I love Hawaii. There's lots of Hawaiian stuff here. This, my mum made me this out of my old Hawaiian shirts as well. So this, you know, this is representative of my mum and her incredible needlework. And I have my awards. I'm very, you know, I'm very proud of that YouTube award up here and these books that I've written. And like, I can tell you a story about every, you know, I got my Harrods letter opener here. You know, I can tell you,
yes.
I've surrounded myself with stuff that I go, this is good stuff. You know, and with a virtual background, you can do the same. Again, I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, Mark, this is the last time we're going to be broadcasting live from Boring Basic Room. Next episode's going to be live from New Orleans.
Love it.
And have a little bit of fun. So, sake of time, we're going to dive into rapid fire.
Right. Go for it.
Short, sweet, fill in the blank, any answer you want. Coffee or tea?
Depends.
Okay. Favorite season?
All of them. I don't have a favorite one. They're all great.
All right, we're going to do extended answers. So coffee or tea, depends. Tell me.
Oh, yeah. So I drink coffee in the morning, but I love drinking tea with my daughter. She loves to make tea.
And his favorite season, is that location dependent? Tell me more about that.
No, they're all great. I love that they change. I like the fact that it's different four times a year. So I wouldn't want to, I don't have a favorite. My favorite thing is that they keep changing.
So your book's already in people's cards. People are going to learn about you. Other than you and the information you provide, who do you go to learn some of this information as well? Who are your mentors or thought leaders?
Yeah, so being on the behavior panel with these guys, like, I learn new stuff all the time from them, as I hope and I'm sure they do from me. And so, look, you know, Look, there are great books out there that you can read, and that is one way to get a relationship with people who are super expert. The other is to watch podcasts like this or YouTube videos. But the best way is to get with people, even if, and especially sometimes if, they are peers and you can elevate each other. You don't need to get with somebody who is, a high up expert to you. Sometimes you just need to get with people live and regularly. Who can you have a regular discussion with to up your skill, even if they're not super expert? Yeah, it's somebody at the same level as you is just as good many times.
Love that insight. Mark, one more question before that. How do people get in touch? How do they follow you? Buy the books? Do you have a landing page you'd like to send them to? You tell me.
Yeah, go to truthplane.com, T-R-U-T-H-P-L-A-N-E, truthplane.com, and you'll find everything about me there.
Truthplane.com. One more question. Talk about streaking in front of millions and millions of people. What, 100 million people probably. Tell me about that streaking experience, Mark.
Yeah, so I did the Nike Super Bowl ad called The Streaker, in which I streaked in front of many, many thousands of people in only wearing a scarf and Nike shoes. I can't remember what type they were now, but they were just launched for the Super Bowl. If you Google Nike Streaker, you will find me.
Most famous streaker online,
Most
Mark.
Most famous streaker on the planet.
On the planet. Mark, you are incredible. I appreciate your time. Get out of here, go help more people, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.